Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here. And Father, I pray with you would be with all those that are sick this morning, all those that are hurting, those that are with family members that are sick. Father, that you would give them wisdom, that your healing hand would be upon them. Lord Jesus, pray for each and every person in this room this morning, that we would not be distracted, but that we would hear your voice, that we would know your voice, and that you would minister to each and every one of us this morning. May your will be done now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'd like to talk to you guys about today, if you open up your Bibles to John chapter 14, and this still stems from a few weeks ago when Sean spoke. Sean made the statement that about really wanting to be Spirit-led. And so this is for all you believers today, all you that are Christians, and this is a message for you and for me this morning, because some of you might have looked when Sean said, you know, you can morally do the right thing and you can want to do the right things, but to really stop and be Spirit-led. And what Sean was talking about was the job. Do you guys remember that? I know not everybody was here. So basically what I want to talk to you about today is being Spirit-led. And for each one of us, that is so important in our life, to make decisions based upon the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us, because we can make morally right decisions. We can make good decisions. We can make decisions that aren't obviously, we're not going to sin and just make right decisions by world standards, but be out of step with God. And be out of step with what God wants to do in our lives. And so John 14 is where we're going to begin in verse 15. But if you want to be Spirit-led, can I tell you how that begins with obedience? It really does. It begins with obedience and obedience to what God is speaking to us. And in these few verses here, obedience will continue and continue to come up. It says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Okay, so that's pretty obvious. If you love someone, you're going to obey them. It's like any relationship with your children, with your family, with your parents, with your spouse. If you love someone, you're not going to purposely go and do the opposite of what they've asked you not to do. Unless you want to fight, unless you want to get a stir out of someone, you're not going to purposely go against what someone has specifically asked you not to do. And so he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You know, many people today say they love God. They sit in church every Sunday. They worship. They open up their Bibles, but they don't obey him. So are they deceiving themselves? Because they're not doing what the Word of God says. They're not walking in obedience. This is Jesus talking here. If you love me, you will obey me. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. As I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, he says he's not going to leave us as orphans. He's not going to just go up to heaven and like, okay, y'all get to deal with this now. That he's sending a counselor. He's sending someone to lead us in all truth. If you're walking in lies, if you're walking in deceit, then you're not walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in disobedience, then you're not walking in the Spirit. I think about if my Heavenly Father is giving me a task and giving me something to do, he's going to guide me, he's going to lead me, and he's going to be there right beside me. But if I turn and go a different direction, he's not. Then you're listening to the world and the worldly desires and the fleshly desires. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings." There it is again. Three times in these little short verses about obedience. "My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I was thinking about a counselor, a leader, and the peace that comes with that. I was talking to Amanda yesterday, and she was talking about her trip this week. She's going to Disneyland, and she's going with people that's been many times before. And I said, you know, I've never been to Disneyland, but I said if I ever did go, just like any place, I like to go with people that know what's going on. Years ago, we went to SeaWorld and to San Antonio, and we had so much fun, but we'd stopped at Slitterbaum Water Park on the way down. And I know Brooke used to work at Slitterbaum, and it's this enormous water park. Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. If you've never been, you should go. But our first time there, we were just overwhelmed because we didn't know where to go, and we're just going about, and we ended up, I don't remember if it was our first trip or we went back a second time, but it was like the second time that we went back, we'd planned, and we knew where to go and what we wanted to do. We knew what rides we wanted to do. We knew what parts of the park to go to. We didn't waste our time with things that we didn't think was fun. We had a knowledge. We had an understanding, and it was so much better. There was a peace. Okay, we're going to go get in line at this ride because we know if we wait till the afternoon, you're standing in line for 2 hours. You go there first thing in the morning, you can ride it three times in 20 minutes, and then you go on and you're done. You know what I'm saying? There was knowledge, there was wisdom, there was understanding. Think about that with when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, the peace that you have, because God's got this. He understands. He knows. He's leading. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? It's like we like going to Panama City Beach every summer for vacation. Why do I like going there? Because I know what restaurants to go to. I know the back roads to take to dodge the traffic some of the time. We know where we like to go. We know what we like to do. We're familiar, and there's almost like a piece about, well, here's where we're going. Here's what we're doing. We understand. I don't like to go places that I feel like I'm wasting time being stuck with not knowing what to do. The Holy Spirit's come to lead us, to guide us, and He's saying, "My peace I leave with you." There's a peace in knowing if God's leading us, if God's directing us, the Counselor, and He says, "I'm not leaving you as orphans." The Holy Spirit's come to guide you in all truth. In Psalms 143:10, it says, "Teach me to do your will. For you are my God, may your good spirit lead me on level ground." See, if we truly have that in our hearts and our heart's desire, then we're going to be obedient. And the obedience begins with us following what the Word of God says. And then it gives the Holy Spirit something to draw from and to lead us and guide us and direct us. If when my kids were little, I gave them a car. And if every night they were coming home late, if they weren't doing what I was saying, I would have took away that car. And I wouldn't have continued to bless them with unless they were going to obey, unless they were going to do what I told them to do. Do we understand that? Do your kids ever disobey you so you take away their favorite toys, or you take away their phone, or they have to get a spanking or whatever it is, right? Because they're walking in disobedience. Is God not so much a billion times better at being a parent than we are So why do we think that if we're going to walk in disobedience, that He's going to say, well, here you go, I'm just going to continue to bless you and bless you and bless you as you go down the wrong path? No, a good parent stops. A good parent will stop you when you're walking in disobedience in whatever way they can. And God's no difference. But if in our heart's desire we're saying, God, teach me to do Your will. You are my God. May Your good Spirit lead me on level ground. That's saying, God, guide me with Your Holy Spirit. And just like Sean was saying, I'd morally done everything right. But now, God, I want to be led by Your Holy Spirit. Now, listening to the Holy Spirit will always guide you. And listening to the Holy Spirit, He will always guide you in righteousness and truth. Always. But He's not always going to guide you down an easy path. You know, Hayden likes to go out and go hiking and find these waterfalls and stuff. And he'll send us these pictures and show us these pictures and just beautiful places. But we're always like, how easy is it to get to? And sometimes he's like, y'all can't do it. You know, me and Amy and Kyle and Crystal last year went to a waterfall up was in eastern part of Oklahoma, and it was a paved parking lot. You got out in this walking path, you walked to it, and it was a nice little walking path, but then still it was like, man, this is kind of far on a walking path, you know. And we saw the waterfall, we walked back out, and we're like, woo, you know. And anyway, some of the most beautiful spots that Hayden's gone to, it wasn't easy to get to. You know, there's spots that he had to climb and crawl, and there's one spot over off Mount Magazine. I guess a guy had actually slipped and fell and lost his life. And he's like, the rocks are kind of slick, but you hold on to this. Is it a rope, Hayden? You hold on to this rope, and it's not too bad. And I'm thinking, a dude slipped and fell and died? Nah. I'll just look at your pictures. But sometimes to get to the most beautiful place, it's not easy. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And sometimes being led by the Holy Spirit, it's not always the easiest life. But where He's leading you to is the most beautiful place. In Matthew 4, 1 and 2, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And that's after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm thinking, Lord, after I've fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, I'm good. I want some food now. You know, I've been seeking You all this time, but the Spirit led Him to be tempted. You know, sometimes in our life, when things aren't going our way, your job's terrible, your kids aren't doing what they're supposed to, your sickness in the family, whatever it is, and you're going, God, why am I here? I don't understand. I've had numerous people tell me when things are bad in their life, they say, I did what was right. Why is God doing this to me? You ever thought that? You ever said that? I have. I'm not going to lie. There's times when I'm struggling in areas and I'm going, God, I thought I was doing everything right. Sometimes we're being led to be tempted to those places. Think about in Acts 9 when Ananias was told to go and pray for Saul. And Saul's out persecuting Christians, trying to wipe out the church, and God says, go pray for this guy, Saul. It'd be like God telling us today to maybe go over to Afghanistan or Iran or something to a Muslim priest over there and go, hey, go over there and start praying for that guy. You'd say, Lord, Have you not read the news? They're killing Christians over there. They're beheading Christians. I don't think I heard you right. That's what Ananias and Jesus is led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. And Ananias is told to go and pray for Saul in Acts chapter 12. As I was thinking about all these different Christians and what they faced and the times that they were in trouble, and I was thinking how God leads us in different ways, but God can deliver us. Also in Acts 12, verse 6, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, and he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent His angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." There's an instance where God delivered. Sometimes we're going to be led into the desert to be tempted. Sometimes we're going to be asked to do things that we're not comfortable with, like Ananias praying. And sometimes we're going to be in harm's way, and God's going to show us a way out. God's going to lead us a way out. And as I was thinking about this, and I was thought about the instance here where Peter is taken out of the jail cell, but then think about Paul stays in the jail in Acts 16, if you want to flip there. And it's just so how the Spirit is at work in every circumstance, in every situation. We can't go, "Well, this is what Pete's doing, so I'm going to do it." You got to do what God's showing you to do. In Acts 16:22, my eyes catch up with my brain. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. What had Paul done? He had cast out a demon out of this girl that was following him around, and the people saw that they weren't going to be able to make money off the slave girl anymore. So he cast out the demons, and they get the crowd all in an uproar. And here the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They had done a good thing. They'd cast out a demon, and they were stripped, beaten, flogged, thrown into the inner cell. Today we hear all this gospel and this preaching about, how much God loves you, and He's not going to harm you, and He's not going to hurt you, and if you just follow Him, everything's going to be great and grand and wonderful. They were beaten, they were flogged, thrown into the cell, but what were they doing? They were singing and praising God. Y'all, I know people that, how should I say this? Someone cuts in front of them in line at Walmart, they're cursing under their breath. Someone cuts them off in traffic, they're cursing them. Someone they're having a little trouble paying their water bill, and they got to decide between their water bill and their case of Pepsi for the week, and they're cursing God. When was the last time when you were in a struggle, when you were in a trial, that you just stopped and began to worship God? And thank God for how awesome He is, instead of, "Woe is me, why is this happening to me? Why is my life falling apart? Why haven't I got this blessing? Why haven't I done this?" Church, this is preaching to me. This is preaching to me because just in the last few weeks, I've had some struggles in my own life. And I've been questioning, going, God, I thought I did what was right. Why aren't things working out the way that I thought they would? And I'm crying like a big baby instead of saying, God, I know You're in control. You're in control of everything. And I worship You and I praise You for how great You are. As they were singing hymns to God and the other prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open. Everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Can I tell you something? If I'm in a prison after being beaten and flogged for doing righteousness, and the walls shake and the chains fall off, I'm gone. I'm running as fast as I can, praising God. Thank You for opening up these doors. Thank You for these chains falling off. Would You not? I mean, how rare. Okay, earthquake, the door's opening. That could be just a natural thing. But the chains even fall off. I'm running. Praising God the whole way out the door, going, thank You, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. He's our Savior. I'm free. We just saw where the angel had led Peter out. But Paul says, we're all here? The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What was he saying? You guys aren't like everybody else. You're still here. I want what you have. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his home. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. You know, I preached on that verse before about men and the leadership in their family. And if men would begin to follow God the way that they should, watch and see what will happen to your family. See, one had been given to leave and flee, Peter. And one had been shown to stay. Why? So the jailer and his whole household would be saved. See, we may not have had a vision or an earthquake or an angel leading us, but what we do have now is we have the Holy Spirit. Do you guys know that this morning? Each and every one of you that's asked Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior, if you've repented of your sins and you've given your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is there for you, for each and every one of us. So, I heard this story this week. I'm going to have to speed up. It's funny, whenever I first started this sermon, I had one chapter in the Bible I was going to read, and that was it. I said, well, this is going to be different, and then it kept adding and adding and adding, and then I told Crystal once again I had to stop or I'm going to keep everybody there all day. There's so much with being led by the Holy Spirit. But I heard this story this week. Do any of y'all ever listen to Robert Morris? I think it's called Pathway to Victory. Mitzi does. I listen to him on and off. I don't hear him every week or every day. But this week he was talking about this woman. Her name was Jalen Hinkle. Y'all, anybody know who Jalen Hinkle is? I didn't either. I guess she's one of the best women soccer player in the world. And she's a Christian. And in 2017, I believe it was, she was playing for Team USA. They had decided, the team had decided that they were going to wear these rainbow jerseys to support gays and lesbians and whatever, you know, they're called these days, the LGBTQ, whatever. And she said she was torn up on the inside. And she knew she wasn't supposed to wear that jersey, and she fasted and prayed for 3 days. And she said, I cannot wear that jersey. number one soccer player in the world by many, woman soccer player by many thoughts. She says, I can't wear that jersey. Prayed for 3 days, and she knew what it might cost her. It's cut from the team. The next year, she's playing for a different team. I don't know soccer at all, so I don't understand. I'm not telling the story perfect. You can look it up, though, because I went and looked it up. In 2018, she was invited back to be part of Team USA for the World Cup. The coach of the World Cup team was a lesbian and had a lesbian spouse, whatever they're supposed to be called, husband, wife, I don't know. And she practiced one day, I think, is what they said. And she was cut from that team. Would never represent the USA in the World Cup. Number one soccer player in the world. And when the coach was asked, they said, well, we cut her because it had to do with her abilities as a soccer player. Nothing more. But everybody knew that it was because she actually took a stance on her beliefs. She's later interviewed. She didn't come out with everything at first. And she said, I knew that this might cost me my dream as a little girl to someday win a World Cup for my country. I knew that it might cost me my dream. But it was more important for me to follow what God had told me to do. Now, sometimes in our life, it's more important for us to follow what we know God is telling us to do. It may cost us our job. It may cost us our family. It may cost us our friends. It may be tough. It may be hard. But but the Spirit leading you, guiding you. I keep talking about all the bad and the prison and Jesus led to be tempted but the Spirit's not always going to lead us in trouble. Paul and Silas, he warned them not to go to Asia and told them to go a different route. The Spirit's not always going to lead us. But He will lead us in truth and in righteousness. And if you guys will open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and this was where going to be the only spot that I was going to read this morning, and then this all came about to this point. But last week, I was in Romans chapter 7, where he's saying, I do not do the things that I want to do, and oh, what a wretched man I am, and talking about the battle between your flesh and the Spirit of God, and what a wretched man I am. You can read back over 7 if you want. And at the end, where I ended last week is who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who will rescue me? And then it goes into, in my Bible's in chapter 8, it says life through the Spirit. Life through the Spirit. And so it goes on. So he's going, for what a wretched man I am. I do not do the things that I want to do, but thanks be to God, Jesus Christ. He's our deliverer. And then Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You struggle with depression. You struggle with feelings of inadequacy. You struggle with the past and how horrible you was. Anybody ever do that? I have. But now, in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Okay, there was a big mouthful and all that, but there it is again, in obedience. Those who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. His Son was sent to be an atoning sacrifice for us. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the sinful nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. You know, you go back to, what are you always thinking about? Is it more money, newer things, A's in school, whatever it is, or is it the things of God? God, how can I please you? God, may I hear your voice today? God, may I walk in obedience today? The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Peace. No condemnation. Peace. When you're walking in obedience, there's peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. If you are controlled by that sinful nature, when I mean controlled, is that the dominating force of your life? You're not going to please God. Verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So you know what that tells me? That if you belong to Christ, you have the Spirit. But if you don't have the Spirit, then you don't belong to Christ. Sean saying a few weeks ago, I want to hear from the Spirit. Some of y'all might be saying, I don't even understand what he's saying. But what he's saying is to know God's voice and to hear God's command when it comes to work, when it comes to school, when it comes to dating, whatever it is, when it comes to your finances. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of the sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. But if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. That's the world around us. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His suffering in order that we may also share in His glory. Last thing, I was trying to decide if I wanted to do it. The last thing is I'd been thinking about this message since Sean was here about living by the Spirit. And this week, Tim and that men's group sent a devotional about living in the Spirit. And I thought it was kind of interesting because that's what I had already thought that I was going to preach about. But it talks about the difference between flesh and spirit. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says the contrast between the works of the flesh, i.e. the selfish life, and the fruit of the Spirit, which is natural production of His influence, is very marked. In work, there is effort, the clatter of machinery, the deafening noise of the factory. You ever work in a factory? You ever deliver to a factory? It's loud. There's manufacturing. There's work. And that's what it's talking about. If you're working, there's all kinds of stuff going on. But fruit is found in the calm, still, regular process of nature, which is ever producing in her secret laboratories the kindly fruits of the earth. How quiet it all is. There is no voice, no language. It's almost impossible to realize what is being affected by a long summer day of sunshine. The growing of autumn arrives with noiseless footsteps. So it is with the soul that daily walks in the Spirit. There are probably no startling experience, no marked transitions, nothing special to record in the diary. But every year, those who live close proximity witness a ripening wealth of fruit and the manifestation of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Let me summarize. If you're working, you're trying, you're going to hear a lot of noise and a lot of effort. But in fruit, you ever see a apple tree or an orange tree or a peach tree or a pear tree? I even see it with our flowers sometimes. I'm like walking by this rose bush every day and I see nothing, and then all at once one day it catches my eyes and there's roses everywhere or there's fruit being produced. You don't really see it happening, but one day it's just there. And see, that's how it is for us when we're following in the footsteps of Jesus and we're walking in obedience. Then one day when that guy cuts you off in traffic, you're not honking your horn. You're not flipping him off. You're not yelling at him. One day, you're just like, well, I guess he must be in a bigger hurry than me. One day when that coworker at work says that ugly comment about your hair or your makeup or whatever, that snidey thing that they're getting the dig in, and you're like, you want to pay him back. But then one day you're just like, I guess they must be having a bad day that they feel like they got to cut me down. That they feel like, maybe I need to pray for them. You see the difference in that just production in your life of the love, of the joy, of the peace, of the gentleness, of the faithfulness, of the self-control. Hearing God's voice begins with obedience. And then following through with what He tells you to do. I'm not always good at it. But I need to get better. Why? Because sometimes the self nature still riles up in me. But I want that fruit. That fruit that only by being led by the Holy Spirit is produced in my life. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. And I pray, Lord, that Your message got through to each and every one of us, Lord, that right now as we spend a few moments in singing and lifting our voices, that each one of us would examine our lives and areas that maybe we've been disobedient, areas of our lives that we feel like, Lord, maybe that we even feel like You haven't met Your end of the bargain, like we're going through rough times and life's just not what we thought it would be. Lord, may we cast those thoughts aside. May we confess them as sin and just begin to obey once again in every area of our life. May we begin to see fruit being produced. Lord, not in maybe a sudden change, but just in a natural way where that anger relents and is gone, where that jealousy is gone, where that selfish ambition is gone. And Lord, there's just a desire to know You, to show Your love and kindness to those around us. Father, any here that's making big decisions, may Your Spirit lead them. Lord, any here that's maybe have heard Your voice and it didn't make sense and we didn't understand why, Lord, may we just obey and leave the outcome to You. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything this morning, the altars are open.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the
encourage you this morning to you're struggling with anxiety, you're struggling with fear, you're struggling with depression, you're struggling with sin, some form or another, cry out to Jesus today and ask Him to guide you. But I must warn you, when you take a step towards God, the enemy is going to do everything he can to try and knock you off the path. How many times have we seen it here at church that someone will make a commitment, whether it's at an altar, up here on stage, or however it's, and then you don't see them? What's happening is that Satan is attacking. Wednesday night we had an awesome men's meeting, and Thursday by the middle of the day I was under so much attack on the very thing that we had talked about Wednesday night, and about lunchtime it hit me, and I just began to smile and laugh, and I thought, man, the enemy is doing everything he can to trip me up today. But y'all, it's all worth it. It's all worth it in the end. When you have peace, when you have joy, when you have no condemnation in your heart, money can't buy that. Worldly things can't buy that. Only walking in obedience and living for Jesus. And I pray that each and every one of you will have an abundance of fruit being produced in your life in the coming weeks, and that you'll know that you know God's voice. Service tonight at 6 o'clock, prayer meeting, I don't know. We'll see what happens for anybody that can make it. We'll see y'all this evening.